This is The Danglers, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast. One fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band.
Welcome to episode 19 of the Yes Music Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. First of all, I must say a big thank you to the Danglers for the introduction there. I love it. Make sure you check out the interview special I recorded with the guys, as well as their great music that you can hear in the blog post. Please remember you can get involved with the podcast at the site www.yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can subscribe via RSS, via iTunes, via email to the blog post and episode updates. You can read and then comment on show notes or blog posts. You can follow the show on Twitter at Yes Music Podcast, or you can send the show an email, show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload a file via the link on the right-hand side, and you can leave a voicemail message in two ways and appear on the show yourself by calling 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417, or by recording a voice message straight onto the website using the Record a Message button on the extreme right-hand side. More listeners are tuning into the podcast on Stitcher.com, so if you have a smartphone, why not download the Stitcher app for free? In case you haven't heard, the Yes rumour mill went into overdrive this week, as Benoit David left the band and a new singer, John Davison, was announced. You may already know Davison from the last couple of Glass Hammer albums, and if not, you really should check out the band. There's some great progressive rock to discover. Links are in the show notes for this episode. As I said on YesFans.com recently, Davison appears to use both natural voice and falsetto for the high vocal passages, so it will be fascinating to hear him live with the band in the Southern Hemisphere soon. I've already booked our friend Ben Craven from BenCraven.com for an interview special, as he has tickets to see Yes in Australia. I just hope Davison can look after his voice, so he doesn't suffer in the same way as David appears to have done. This week's featured album is The Ladder from 1999. The Open Your Eyes lineup of Anderson, Squire, Howe, White and Sherwood are joined by Igor Koryshev as full-time keyboard player on this album, which, as I think we will see, helps the band create something rather better than last time. This is the only album on which Koryshev is an official member of the band, and I'll leave you all to read that particular story if you want to. I think this is the only album on which there are six members of the band. All the others, discounting, of course, Union, only have five, except Magnification, which only has four. Let me know if I'm wrong about that. Production is by Bruce Fairbairn, and the album is also dedicated to him, as I believe he passed away soon after completion. The CD package I have is a limited edition, with a large reproduction of Fairbairn's track chart and a slipcase, which makes the best of Roger Dean's return to traditional, wonderful, fantastical landscape painting. So the scene is set for the band to follow Fairbairn's advice mentioned in the sleeve notes: make the best Yes album you can, the rest will follow. The first track is Homeworld, brackets The Ladder. This was featured on a video game, I think, called Homeworld. The usual sources will furnish you with details of what came first, the game or the song. I'm going to concentrate on the quality of the track as a Yes song, as usual. It begins with a variety of spacey sound effects, as well as what sounds like a rainmaker, to add to the already very mysterious and tantalising opening. The vocals are quite strident in comparison with the accompaniment, as Anderson's high line rips through the texture. When the groove finally creeps in, it's thankfully not the rather unrefined heavy treatment of Open Your Eyes, but rather a well-constructed, quite subtle mix of different instruments. It's worth listening carefully to appreciate the little touches of background guitar and the fine production on the drums, which seem much more restrained and appropriate than on the previous album, but retain and highlight Alan White's superb technique. The tempo is held up, and then we move into a sublime chorus where Anderson soars in classic style above a rising Squire bass line. It's catchy but never banal, and the interweaving of lines produces some of the most effective Yes-textured music for years. Igor Koryshev adds beautiful prog-sounding Wakeman-influenced patterns, and Howe's solo is powerful and adds to a superb, uplifting, positive feel, which sets my spine tingling in a most welcome manner. The classic Yes choir adds depth as it comments on the main vocal line, and the piece turns even more of a progressive corner at about 4 minutes, with a rocky guitar line supporting some very Wakeman or K keyboard work from Khoroshev. In fact, it turns into a wonderful tapestry of sections, alternating with a vocal verse. The different rhythmical treatments are superbly handled, and the segues between the sections masterful and perfectly judged, as the chorus swings in with Anderson declaring, "Our home is our world, our life." This is Yes music of the highest order. It ticks all the boxes you could possibly want it to. Khoroshev fills the Wakeman role brilliantly as he opens up the 70s synth sounds box and combines in fine style with Howe, rekindling the musical ecstasy of yesteryears. If you're having a bad day, just listen to the climbing bass line in the chorus here, and I guarantee your mood will lift along with it. Next comes a classic Howe acoustic guitar interlude, which is then replaced by Anderson and Khoroshev in a beautiful epilogue, reminiscent of the way Soon appears at the end of The Gates of Deryllium. "Truth is a simple place," sings Anderson. "For me, this is the perfect ending to a pretty much perfect Yes song. I know it will be criticised by some as too close in form or approach to classic period pieces, but consider this. Did anyone ever criticise Mozart, Beethoven, the Beatles, Vivaldi or the Rolling Stones for sounding too much like themselves? They probably did. If Yes at this point wanted to make a Yes song in classic style, then who else should be allowed to do so? It's not lazy, predictable or selling out. It's just the band doing what the band does best, creating a work of perfect progressive rock beauty in the style they themselves developed. Homeworld should be much better known than it is." Next up is It Will Be a Good Day, brackets The River. It's great to hear some keyboard washes supporting Anderson's typically dreamy lyrics, and the ostinato rhythm which pervades the whole piece gives it a great sense of cohesion. Squire's bass line is understated and spans a huge pitch range, pointing out his ability to create a mood with a simple set of notes, a little like Shakespeare uses words. Once you have heard it, you can't imagine how even a single note or word could be changed. It's sublime craftsmanship. Howe adds a line of quintessentially Yes-flavoured counter-melody, and the uplifting feel is once again here as he climbs upwards to accompany the vocal line. Listen to how Squire complements the lead guitar theme. It's beautifully done. On the surface, this is a simple song, but we are reminded once again how Yes music can elevate the spirit through seeming simplicity. As pointed out last week by MJ Murphy's blog post on twilightguitar.wordpress.com, just as Einstein and Chopin each recognised simplicity as their ultimate goal, they also knew that the path to getting there could be anything but easy. This defines, perhaps, the magic and genius of the simpler-sounding Yes pieces. This track is imbued with all sorts of classic Anderson imagery. It's a song which makes me smile, which sets me back on the road to a positive mental attitude when I feel down. And that's real magic, surely. As Anderson sings, "Make me believe again, making me free again." Lightning Strikes begins with a recording of a Latin American band, which sets the stage for Howe to enter with an acoustic passage full of Latin swagger and passion, but also with typical Howe sensibilities mixed in. When the whole band comes in beneath Anderson's upbeat melody, a groove is created of high-energy dance rhythms with a continuous bass drum beat. An offbeat keyboard, ascending passages on guitar, and lots of other activity keep the interest levels high in what could have descended into pastiche. According to the sleeve notes, the margarita horns are in the mix, and listening closely they are indeed adding to the fiesta of sound, which includes enough subtle changes of tempo and feel alongside a great Squire bass solo to preserve the energy and mood of the piece. Great fun. Can I fades in as soon as Lightning Strikes finishes, and here we have a real echo of the past, as Anderson creates a blend of We Have Heaven from Fragile with native-sounding chants and instruments, in a brief but fascinating brew, which is replaced by Khoroshev introducing the next track, Face to Face. It starts with a fun phasing of the stereo keyboards and a bright instrumental introduction featuring a lead bass line from Squire to pave the way for Anderson singing a high-pitched verse, followed by a spiky guitar theme by Howe. The lead bass line from Squire continues as a motif throughout these passages, which gives a lively feel when combined with the complementary drum and rhythm guitar parts. The backing choir are present again in effective form, and Howe introduces the very catchy multi-part chorus. It sounds like a bright sunny day, full of positivity once again. Khoroshev is highlighted again with nicely constructed interjections, and at about 4 minutes 20 a good contrast is created with a short a cappella section and a rocky finish, complete with final bash. Again, great stuff. If Only You Knew begins rather differently. I think this is a track you either love or hate. On Twitter this week, at JJ Delmas describes it as a jewel, and I have to say that I'm also in the love camp on this one. Quiet, beautiful melodies float around you as bass, drums, keyboards, and guitar lines intertwine in perfect harmony to create a mood of peace and hope. Listening to the individual musical parts, here we have what I was looking for in last week in Open Your Eyes. Each line has its own life, its own integrity, and defined form, which combine to produce an overall effect much greater than the sum of its parts. This is songwriting and arrangement of the very highest order. It's pop rock, but shows the complete mastery of the form these musicians have developed. It's another track which deserves much wider exposure, especially as I think it would have a wide appeal to different audiences. The chorus has a marvellous hook, and there are little touches of Yes vocabulary as well as what I imagine are Khrushchev and Sherwood influences. See what you can spot. Is it really Yes? I really don't care. It's a lovely song to close your eyes and immerse yourself in. To Be Alive, brackets Hepiada, has a bit more of an open-your-eyes feel to it. There's the how sitar-type sound again, which is combined beautifully with the other instrumentalists. This seems to be a key feature of this album. It sounds like each member of the band is working very harmoniously to create some fantastic arrangements, showcasing their individual talents. Squire's slow-moving bassline helps to hold the feel of the music up in introductory mode until Anderson sings, "Everybody wants some to feel alive." It's simple word painting, but very effective as the mood of the music is ratcheted up and Squire's bassline gains more movement. The vocals support the new mood with a repeated pattern in the backing and Anderson soaring over the top. It's great to hear Howe's sliding pedal steel solo, and once again this is sparkling upbeat stuff to lift the spirit up to where it belongs when listening to Yes. The track fades out and then finally bursts in with Howe flourishes and a crashing chorus. Taken together, To Be Alive sets the scene and then finally takes over to heighten the mood. It's a real rocker in Yes style, and Anderson gives one of his most powerful vocal performances of recent years. A good deal of contrast is added with sections like I Can Feel the Earth Moving, and then Howe produces a great Axe Hero solo moment. Once again, the energy levels are almost off the top of the scale, and the track rocks and rolls on in compulsive fashion until about 3 minutes 20 seconds, where we are treated to a classic-sounding passage of keyboard washes, lovely Wakeman-esque themes from Khrushchev, and Anderson weaving melody around Howe guitar lines. This elevates the track to far beyond the bombast of the worst moments of Open Your Eyes. It could have been a good basic rocker, but this final section makes it approach epic status, in feel, if not in scale. The Messenger is, I think, the track Anderson wrote about Bob Marley. Reading the lyrics, it's all about the power of a person to influence. There's a huge catchy chorus and a lot of complexity in the instrumental and vocal arrangement. Again, we are reminded of the ability of the band to craft expert music in a variety of styles. Khrushchev and Howe spar nicely in the middle, and like Finally, there is a different paced section at the end, featuring Anderson and Howe providing a highly effective epilogue. This is a huge album in several ways, but certainly in terms of the number of songs, and now we move on to the second of the two tracks which are on an epic scale, New Language. It starts with a very prog-sounding fast passage, with Khrushchev and Howe matching and complementing each other's rising sequences. The combination of these two musicians is one of the high points of the album for me. Not to be left out, Squire also joins in to show that he can match the other two in dexterity and virtuosity, and Alan White provides a driving beat underneath the technical fireworks. What a great opening. Listening to it in chronological order after the preceding tracks, it seems that the band, subconsciously or not, have kept increasing the level of intensity and pace with each track, or at least the last three or four. Here, Khrushchev shows himself to be a worthy successor to Wakeman, as he takes on a brilliant solo passage rivaling his illustrious forebear's touch and keyboard mastery. The band is super tight and together as it blasts out the music. It's breathtaking and breathless at the same time, until at about 2 minutes the mood completely changes to introduce Anderson. Khrushchev sounds a bit like he's stolen the electric piano from the Moonlight Lounge in Vegas, but somehow, in the context of the piece, this doesn't seem to matter. It's a quirky and fun little melody and accompaniment, but turns a little more mysterious in a bridge section to a big chorus with classic Yes choir supporting Anderson. It never quite turns the corner into MOR pop rock, and I find it hugely enjoyable. At about 6 minutes 20, a new section is introduced with acoustic guitar soloing in expansive style above a bed of repeated rhythm section patterns. A nice arrangement brings us back to the bridge section, and then the joyous chorus. Once again, Yes have managed to stitch sections together to produce a piece which has its own integrity as a long-form entity. It's not classic throughout in approach or sound, but I think its success for me can be measured in that it flies by in the blink of an eye, despite being 9 minutes 19 seconds long. It seems effortless. Nine Voices, brackets Long Walker, is a folk tale told by Anderson, supported by acoustic howl work, keyboards, what sounds like Indian tabla, and beautifully arranged Yes choir. It grows from a quiet start, adding parts as it goes, and is a lovely song with an air of mysticism and a very strong, memorable melody. A great way to end the album. So The Ladder is a great Yes album, which combines the best of the classic song structure, brilliant musicianship and ensemble playing, with the best of the newer elements of Open Your Eyes and the like. I haven't mentioned Billy Sherwood a lot, but I think his presence is essential in the mix here. Using this album as a basis to expand from, I wonder what we could have had next. However, of course, this is the last time Igor Khoroshev and Billy Sherwood are part of the setup for studio recording, and Yes now enter yet another different phase of their existence as we move on towards the next album and the next millennium. So that's about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. I hope you've enjoyed it. Next week we move on to the next studio album, Magnification, from 2001. So your homework, as usual, is to listen to Magnification and see what you think. Then listen next week and see if you agree with me. Also, please get involved at www.yesmusicpodcast.com, by following on Twitter at yesmusicpodcast, by sending an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com, by uploading a file or recording a voice message via the site, or leaving a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next time, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.